Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a tree. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirits of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals free from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives to them anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream of its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with its beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nest places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze, in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its root means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I built as my royal residence, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. This is the word of the Lord.
I was listening to the reading and thinking, oh yes, as I was putting this together and typing it on my laptop, do you know that Nebuchadnezzar is not on autocorrect? So he came King Neb through quite a lot of it. Let's just pray. Father God, may the words I share be faithful to your word. May our hearts and minds be open to what you need us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we find ourselves in chapter 4 of Daniel. And if you're visiting or it's your first time here, we've been looking at the book of Daniel in our morning services. And so we have had some big chunks, some big chapters, but to see the whole story together is quite valuable. So we've read to us the account of Nebuchadnezzar's second dream, this time a dream of a tree. And we hear Daniel's response to that. Let's just remind ourselves for a moment of the character that we're dealing with here. Nebuchadnezzar is a mighty king from the 6th or 7th century BC. He was a wicked man who had attacked Jerusalem, sending the people into exile in Babylon, including Daniel. He's none too keen on God's people, and his power, wealth, and himself are his priority. He seems to have a liking for saying that he will chop people into small pieces or have them torn limb from limb, and that he will have their houses laid to ruins. He's not a particularly nice king. On this occasion of asking for the dream to be interpreted, he does at least tell them what the dream is, unlike as we saw in chapter 2, where he expected those that he sought counsel from to not only guess the dream, but to interpret it for them. And last week we heard of Daniel's friends come from the fiery furnace without even a blemish on them, not even smelling of smoke. And we were reminded through this just how mighty and powerful the God of Israel is to carry them through this terrible ordeal and for them to be able to walk in his light free from what had happened. God was present with him. Nebuchadnezzar may be powerful, but he does seem to be slightly unstable and unpredictable. So let's see if this chapter is going to convince us otherwise. And as Andy said, we're continuing to look at being a witness to the world in the parish. Daniel is a pretty good example to look at. This morning we're going to look at how Daniel witnesses by revealing God's word brought to Nebuchadnezzar through this dream. Not the little gods of Nebuchadnezzar's world, but the one true God, the creator of all. So after the king has commanded all the wise men of Babylon to interpret the dream, and they can't, Nebuchadnezzar turns once again to Daniel. And I couldn't help wondering why he didn't first turn to Daniel, following the wise counsel he gave the first time. Or perhaps he did have an idea of what the dream meant and he was stalling for time. Who knows? So in verse 8, finally Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. Nebuchadnezzar refers to Daniel as Belteshazzar, the name he gave him after his God. But he still acknowledges that Daniel has the spirit of the holy gods in him. But has Nebuchadnezzar got it? One God, the Most High, who is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes, in verse 25. One God. This letter is written to tell the dream and then the downfall of this king at God's hands. Because of Nebuchadnezzar's hunger for power and wealth, his evil ways of doing things, and his lack of acknowledgement of how he first became king, God, who is sovereign over all kingdoms and gives them to who he wishes. Does Nebuchadnezzar get that? But he does seem to acknowledge that Daniel has God's spirit in him. Is Nebuchadnezzar rather navel-gazing, a bit me, 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 what have I done? I am all-powerful, I am mighty, and I am in control. Will this dream perhaps help his gaze to go heavenward, to really praise the Most High, who is sovereign over all? The dream has made him afraid. He acknowledges that there is a message here, a message for him. And he asks Daniel to interpret the dream. And we are told that Daniel is greatly perplexed with thoughts that terrify him. Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel, "Do not let the dream or the meaning alarm you." Great, here's Daniel about to tell the mighty and the powerful king of what will happen to him if he doesn't repent, and it's really not looking very pretty. And when I think back to being at school and not wanting to tell my friends that I went to church, that feels like a walk in the park now. When I think of the times, perhaps when we should stand up for the slogan, "What would Jesus do?" Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, befriend the prisoner. When I think of the times when we may be called to challenge the system in a godly way or speak truth into a system that is far from right. Real situations, sometimes scary. How do we stand firm? How do we speak the truth in love? In God's just love. Back to Daniel, and here goes. Imagine him taking a deep breath and saying, "My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries." He addresses him not in attack, but recognizing and acknowledging his authority as king. And then he takes each element of the dream that has been described to him, and he describes it back to the king, explaining it and interpreting it. The king was a tree, large and strong, visible to all, beautiful with abundant fruit, providing for all. A large tree that gives home to birds, maybe squirrels, providing fruit for many, with a dominion that extends to distant parts of the earth. Dominion. Dominion is described, for example, in both Genesis 1:28 and in Psalm 8. A God-given dominion to humankind to rule over the earth, a responsibility for all that is put under us. Genesis, dominion over every living thing. And Psalm 8 begins with praises to God and a question as to what are human beings that God is so mindful of them, that he cares for them. By putting all things under humankind, he gives us the responsibility to care for all we are given, not to dominate, but to care for. What was it that the king was doing? Dominating the people, or having dominion and recognizing who gave that honor to us as humankind. Our right or our role. Then it gets tough. The king has heard the voices from heaven saying, he, the tree, is to be cut down. And as the tree is chopped down, he will be driven away to live with the wild animals, even eat grass like an ox. Oh, how the mighty it will fall. Who is the Most High? Who is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth? Who gave this role to Nebuchadnezzar? And is it he, the Most High, who gives them to anyone he wishes? And we hear this for the second time in this chapter. In fact, it's there three times in this chapter. He has a chance, though. The tree is only to be cut down to a stump. Not all is lost. Regrowth is possible. God is a God of mercy. Mercy despite our shortfallings and despite our failures to do as we should. God's mercy reigns. Daniel is sharing God's word to show the mighty king there is another way, to show the power of God, the ability for God to take away, and the mercy of God as a forgiving and a faithful God. Daniel may be afraid, but he tells the king, a king for whom he would be praying for. He had been praying for him. He knows he has huge power over his people and the many nations. He tells him with humility and honesty, even gently offering him some advice. In verse 27, we see, renounce your sins by doing what is right. There is still hope. So being God's witnesses, if we are prepared to follow the example of Daniel, is to speak out the word of God, even when it's not easy, even when we are scared or fearful. Even if the one we face seems bigger and more powerful than us. We see the church in many situations speaking out about the injustices in the world. It is, in fact, one of the five marks of mission. The five marks of mission are a statement on mission, expressing the church's commitment to mission. So number four says, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. And admittedly, we can't tackle it alone, but prayer and connecting with and supporting agencies that can, such as our mission partners here, and supporting charities such as IJM, which is the International Justice Mission, who protect the poor globally from violence and trafficking. And I know there are many more out there. But also on a smaller scale, challenging the bully at school or in the workplace, considering how we challenge the injustice around us. Have we come to a point where we can't see a way through the messes of the world when we watch the news? Do we sometimes just despair of the mess in the world and think that nothing can be done until Jesus comes again? Have we become navel gazers, perhaps of despair? Do we need to perhaps focus back heavenward and trust that God is in control, is in this with us, and has got a role for us to carry out too? Daniel could have despaired and his friends could have thrown their hands in the air and said, there's no hope, but he didn't. They didn't. They focused on the Most High, who is sovereign over all. They trusted and they were obedient and they lived that out. Please don't take this as an encouragement to go and put yourselves at risk in any way. We are very fortunate in this country that we have a justice system that we can go to. We have helplines that we can go and seek help from. We have teachers and safe places that we can go to for advice. But we can all pray, and we can all be an example, and we can support those in positions where they can make a change. It is possible for us all. And being Christians in the real world can be one of the most challenging parts of our walk with Jesus. We often begin to see more of the unfairness and injustice and the things that we know would not please God. And this can be a real challenge for us in the situations that we choose to be a part of. The conversations that we may have seen as harmless before, the behaviours of ourselves and of others. But we do live in the light of the death and resurrection of Christ. We live knowing that Jesus died for our sins, and we can turn to him when we mess up. He's already paid the price for us. We live knowing that the examples of how we should live were shown by him. Nebuchadnezzar is also given the opportunity to repent, and eventually he does, and eventually he focuses his eyes on God. Daniel had gained the king's respect. He earned the right to speak. He relied on God's spirit to be all-powerful in and through him when he spoke. Living as Christians speaks as much in the doing as in the saying. The pathways were opened by Daniel's obedience to God's word, by living out God's plan. Daniel's eyes were focused heavenwards. He knew who was sovereign over all. He trusted that God would reveal this to Nebuchadnezzar too. But do we live knowing, as Daniel did, that the Spirit lives in us too? And when we leave here, do we leave here knowing that when we say at the end of this service, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ, Amen," that we have said, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord"? I think it's next to the door at St. Saviour's that it says, "As you leave here, you are now entering the mission field." And we are. The mission field is out there. Nebuchadnezzar continued to walk the wrong way despite being given a year to repent, a whole year. He paid the price. He ate with the animals. From king of many palaces to thinking he was an ox eating grass. And the voice comes from heaven and again tells him, "Until you acknowledge the Most High, who is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes, your prosperity will not continue." Things looked pretty bleak for King Nebuchadnezzar, and we may be tempted to say, well, he deserved it. After all, he is a wicked king who has caused much suffering. But still, if he repents, God is waiting in his mercy to give to anyone he wishes. So that person or that situation that we see as unjust, can we have the courage of Daniel to ensure God's word is spread? And can we live as witnesses to the love of God wherever we can? So what of King Nebuchadnezzar? He was driven away, he ate grass, his body was drenched in dew, until his hair grew and his nails like claws. For a king of mighty standing, that was not a great look. But he raised his eyes from navel gazing to focusing heavenward, and his sanity was restored. Then he praised the Lord. He recognized that it was the Most High's dominion that was the eternal dominion. He recognized it was the Most High's kingdom that endured generation to generation, that he is all powerful, so powerful he can humble the proud. He regained his sanity, his honor, and his splendor, and he was restored to the throne. But now he continued to praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven. The word of God, revealed by the humble Daniel, revealed God's glory and power above all and in all. And let me pray to close. Father God, help us to raise our eyes heavenward so we trust in you as we go into the world and spread your word and your love into the corners where it is now lacking. Amen.